We are back again for another class session of the Warren County Radio Bible School, and this is class number 162. And we are in the middle of a study of the story Jesus told about the Good Samaritan and what it teaches us about love, both of love for God and love for one's neighbor. So I'm going to invite you to get your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 10. And we'll begin looking at verses 25 through 37 as we continue on with this lesson. And while you're getting your Bible and turning to Luke chapter 10, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have regular Bible study and worship services. With in normal times, Bible study is at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and I call myself the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And for the teacher, I have chosen a preacher from the old past. This is a preacher some of your grandparents and maybe some of your great-grandparents heard preach, by the name of E. A. Elam. And we're studying the Sunday school lessons he wrote for the year of 1922. And this particular lesson about the Good Samaritan was written for December 10th, 1922. Now, as a quick review, the lawyer asked Jesus the question, "What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Well, what saith the law?" And the lawyer, he ought to know the law. And the lawyer answered correctly. He talked about how we need to love God and we need to love our neighbors. And Jesus said, "You have answered well. Now go do this and you'll live." But then the lawyer wanted to justify himself. Have you ever wondered why he wanted to justify himself? I wonder why a lawyer would ask a question if he already knew the answer. It shows that he was really trying to trick Jesus. And you know how lawyers are sometimes. You try to corner a lawyer, and lawyers like to go to the fine print and start talking about the definitions of words. And that sounds like what this lawyer wanted to do. I mean, why ask a question if you already knew the answer? And when he gave the answer, and Jesus said, "That's the good answer, do that." Wonder what all the people around thought of that lawyer. Well, the lawyer wanted to justify himself, probably for asking the question. And he said, "Well, who is my neighbor?" Now, doesn't that just sound like a lawyer? What does that word really mean? And are there boundaries and parameters and such as that? And boy, sometimes you can really get lost in legalese, can't you? And sometimes you can so pervert the law that you hide the real purpose of the law. And lawyers know that, and judges know that. And the thing is, people can also wrest scriptures to their own destruction. Well, Jesus didn't enter into a legal discussion and debate with this lawyer, but he did something very different. He told the story, and the story is the story of the Good Samaritan. And it talks about the importance of loving God. I was reading a passage as we completed this last lesson that emphasized the love of God and the love of man. In 1 John chapter 4, and beginning in verse 7, we read, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is begotten of God, and knoweth God. He that knoweth not God... He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Herein was the love of God manifested in us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." You know, when it says there, God is love, now don't get that confused. Some people have that all turned around, and they'll think that love is God. But it doesn't say love is God. It says God is love. And that means that love is so much a part of the nature of who God is that you can say, well, God is love. He is defined by love. He is understood by that concept of love. And here we are made in the image of God. Well, that tells us that we need to be love. Could people call your name and putting your name in the blank, let's say your name is Frank, and say, Frank is love, or your name is Jenny, and they say, you know, Jenny is love, as though your very nature defines what love is. Well, that would be wonderful, wouldn't it? Well, we can do that with God. That is His very nature. God is love. And as God loved us, we ought to love one another. But with that, let me return to Elam's notes as we continue with this lesson. We read that had God's love done nothing for the race of man, it could not have saved man. And that is why it is emphasized that love is not just something we say or feel. Love is something we do. Our love for God is active. 1 John 5 and verse 3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." John 14, 15, and 21 both say, "If ye love me, ye will keep my commandments." In service, we manifest our love for men. As Jesus laid down His life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods and beholdeth his brother in need and shutteth up his compassion from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither with the tongue, but in deed and in truth. 1 John 3, verse 16 and 18. All the love some seem to have is with the tongue and in word. But we read, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not abideth in death. Whosoever hath his brother, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. 1 John 3, 14 and 15. But we do not know that we love the brethren by some animal emotion or feeling. Listen to the text. Hereby we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. 1 John 5 and verse 2. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. Romans 13, 8 through 10. We are to love our enemies as God loves His. But if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Romans 12 and verse 20. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Pray for them that persecute you. Matthew 5 and verse 44. All the above quotations and numerous others which could be made show that love is an active principle. No action, no love. And as I was reading this lesson, my mind carried me back to that great chapter on love that is found in the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The way I memorized that chapter many years ago was when the word love, I memorized it from the King James Version, and there the word love is translated charity. And I don't know all the reasons why the translators may have chosen to translate that word love as charity, but I know this, when I think of charity, I think about love in action. And that's the point that Elam is making in this lesson right here, that love is not just an emotion. No, if it's true love, it will result in some kind of action. I want to read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm not going to read it to you from the King James Version that used the word charity, but from the American Standard Version of 1901 that uses that word love. And here's how it reads. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not his own, is not provoked, taketh not account of evil, rejoiceth not in unrighteousness, but rejoiceth with the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I felt as a child. I thought as a child. But now that I am become a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I was fully known. But now abideth faith, hope, love. These three, and the greatest of these is love. Returning to Elam's notes, we see he has a section on love of one's self. Self-respect and love are not selfishness. The hog or any other brute and the animal in man are selfish, but love is unselfish. To love oneself is to seek one's own greatest good. To sin is to hate oneself. We read in the book of Proverbs, chapter 29 and verse 24, "Whoso is a partner with a thief hateth his own soul, because in this way he destroys it." Selfishness leads to sin and is hatred of oneself. He who does not strive to save his soul hateth his soul. So he who would lead his neighbor into sin hates his neighbors, while he seeks to do his neighbor's good, loves him. To do for one's neighbors what is in righteousness, justice, and mercy, one would have them do for one is to love them as oneself. Love not only works no ill to men, but seeks the greatest good of all. Jesus said, "Thou hast answered right," to that lawyer, because he had answered according to the word of God. "This do, and thou shalt live." That is, thou shalt have the eternal life for which that lawyer had asked and which he sought. This must be done now. In this attempt to ensnare Jesus, the lawyer himself was so entrapped that he was placed upon the defensive and sought some way to justify his own conduct. Desiring to justify himself, that is, to show that his conduct toward others was right, he asked, "And who is my neighbor?" The Jews considered those of their own nation only as their neighbors. I ask now with all emphasis, "And who is my neighbor?" Are the people of my own nation only, or of two or three nations only my neighbors? Who must I love as myself, and who must I not love? And it is with this that Jesus then tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. And we're going to take that parable up at the next class session, beginning in Luke chapter 10 and verse 30. So you may want to mark that in your Bibles. We'll bring this class to a close. In the meantime, you'll be listening for that school bell and be a part of the Warren County Radio Bible School. And if you can, come worship with us at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff.